Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm NFL linebacker TJ Watt, and this is my personal best. YPB by Abercrombie is the activewear I'm always wearing. That's why I reached out to co-design their latest drop. I worked with designers to create high-performance activewear that holds up to my toughest workouts. Shop YPB by Abercrombie in-store, online, and in the app. Because your personal best is greater than anything.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff.
Wait, do it!
With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
It is week 4 in the National Football League. That means next week we get to do the quarter poll show. But we've got a chaos Sunday to talk about. Boomer, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, hey, Mike. I'm doing well. And yes, a chaos Sunday for sure. Think about this. You have the Ravens have a 1-2 record after their 38-30 loss to the Lions on Monday. They have the most points per game by a team with a losing record through 3 games all time. They're averaging 37 points a game, and they got to go to Kansas City this weekend. One of those teams is going to be 1-3, which is, I don't think any of us saw that coming.
Not 1-3, no, even though I love to slander the Chiefs. But we're going to get to it because I do want to spend a couple minutes on the Ravens. Let's just briefly, Thursday Night Football, Seahawks win. Here are my takeaways, and then I do want to salute you for something. A, the Cards are not grown up. I was wrong. I'm done. Marvin Harrison, a bust, question mark. And I don't think you'll be sending Richard Sherman holiday cheer. Those are my takeaways.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the other takeaway, too, is that Sam Darnold has really found a home. And you listen to his head coach talk about him after the game last night. He's playing awesome football. They're very happy with the signing of him. The way that he led this team back to a fourth quarter victory. Now, 7 times he's done this in the last 2 years, well, obviously with the Vikings last year and now with the Seattle Seahawks, that's tied with Patrick Mahomes for fourth quarter comeback wins, which tells you that he's matured, he looks comfortable, and he and Smith and Jigba have this real connection, yeah. And you could see it. And unfortunately for the Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray is really struggling because Marvin Harrison Jr. is struggling. And I saw the guys at halftime on Prime talking about this, and they want to wake that kid up because he's too good to be dropping footballs and making the mistakes that he's making. So at least he had a good second half, and the Cardinals once again woke up in the fourth quarter due in large part to a number of things that had to happen. But how about their kicker not kicking it into the kickoff zone and then giving the Seattle Seahawks the 40-yard line and an opportunity to win the game the way they did?
Games change, Boomer. I can't imagine your thoughts on it when you played. If I told you, hey, you're going to get the ball at the 40 to start a drive, you would have been foaming at the mouth.
Well, I mean, that and penalties, which penalties were a big story this week in the NFL. There were a lot of block kicks. That was another big story in the NFL. But I always say this, back, you know, right around 2005, 2006, it was the Brady and Manning kind of rivalry years. You know, the rules kind of changed a little bit. They wanted more offense. They wanted these guys to really become the stars. And, you know, when you get extra opportunities from defensive holding, illegal contact, pass interference, spot fouls, things of that nature, everything is geared towards offense in the NFL. And we see that time and again each and every week, that if a team has a quality quarterback and they get the ball at the end of the game, there's a really good chance that they're going to have a field goal kicker that can kick a 60 to 65 yard field goal in order to win the game.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a good reminder for all of us. Like, you and I do so much radio by day. We do this show. You watch so much football. Sometimes you got to remind yourself the margins in this league are so small. You know, we'll go, there's no way this team's losing to that team. This isn't college football. There's a reason over 50% of games are a one-score game in this league. And, like, when you look last week, 9 defensive special teams touchdowns, right? You get one of those, you're winning. The teams with the touchdowns, 8-1. The margins aren't big enough to overcome that catastrophe. Penalties, you mentioned it. Like, that's what we have to remind ourselves. Because, again, like, I know when we do the picks and, like, sometimes you guys will look at me like, all right, you're insane. That team's terrible. The NFL, it is a good reminder, man. It is razor-thin margins. It's survive in advance.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately for the Jets, they were the one team that had the defensive touchdown. And it was a great play by Will McDonald. And
you want personal growth? Let me give you personal growth. I felt bad for the Jets. I did. And I felt bad. You know I love Aaron Glenn. I loved him here in Detroit. He's a good man. He's a really good football coach. I did. For a moment, I felt bad for the Jets.
You know, it's interesting because here I'm trying to, you know, fight. I'm not fighting with the fans because the fans obviously are upset that they're 0-3. But I'm just trying to tell the fans here, the Jet fan here, that he's trying to do what, you know, Dan Campbell did in Detroit. Correct. He's trying to create a culture. He wants to show the team that he's into it. You know, last year people were saying, where's the Rob Saleh that was the defensive coordinator when he was on the sideline for the 49ers? And he was running up and down the field and he was all jacked up and he was into it. He was emotional. And then when he became a head coach, he basically became a statue on the sideline.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you have a defensive coordinator who has become a head coach. He's still young and he's reacting to something that one of his young players did on the sideline. Everybody's criticizing him for dancing down the sideline. I'm like, you can't have it both ways, guys.
No, it's a lot of anger. People need a place to project. They need a place to put it. They're frustrated, rightfully so, but I'll never criticize a coach for reacting to that type of play. Let's go Eagles. Just an incredible, a 26-0 run, capped by a blocked field goal to win. Side note, Jordan Davis hates gamblers and Rams plus 3.5. Thanks for that, Big Daddy. Aside from that, though, I'm a big believer in championship DNA. I'm just a big believer that once you win a Super Bowl, you do have something in your bag, so to speak, that other teams don't have. And as much as I was impressed by the Rams, Boomer, the Eagles are still here. I think it's a good reminder for everybody.
19-1 in their past 20 games, including the playoffs, and that's the best record in a 20-game span in team history for them. And by the way, Jalen Hurts has won 17 straight games and that he has started and finished. All I can tell you, in those 17 games, 22 pass TDs, 21 rush TDs, 5 turnovers. I mean, that's the kind of quarterback he's playing. They really haven't had their signature offensive game where Saquon Barkley's gone off, where A.J. Brown has gone off. It's been kind of pushing their way to victory and defense getting key turnovers and key stops and key spots in the game. And you're right. The championship DNA is obviously evident.
Lions, they go into Baltimore and dummy to Ravens. I didn't see it coming. I mean, if you told me the Lions won, that's one thing. I have not seen Baltimore pushed around that way in recent memory. Lions dominated both lines of scrimmage. So let's do this. Look, let's put the Lions over to the left and go, hey, welcome back, right? Reassuring performance for the fans, kind of nullifies the dud against the Pack. They're legit. In your mind, Boomer, what's the couple things, if you could limit it to that, what is wrong with the Ravens? Because you mentioned it. They score a zillion points.
It's their defense. Their defense is not nearly as good as we thought it was going to be. And now with Matabuke out, that's another big stretch. You know, when you listen to John Harbaugh after the game, after losing and watching David Montgomery do what he did and Jahmyr Gibbs do what he did, You know, run defense has always been their forte in Baltimore. And I think John Harbaugh is really, really frustrated right now with that part of his team. Yeah. And then if you can't stop the run and you have running backs like the Lions have, you know, it was interesting listening to Jared Goff talk about when they signed David Montgomery, he couldn't believe that the Chicago Bears were going to let him go. And, you know, what a bonus it has been for the Lions and one of the great free agent signings for the Lions. And by the way, Jared Goff, if you listen to his coach, he is the best quarterback in the NFL right now as he's completing almost 78% of his passes, and he's got 120 passer rating. That's the second highest in the NFL and 17-3 record over the last 20 starts. So Jared Goff has really, I mean, matured into being one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL as we speak right now.
And reassuring for the Lions, two new coordinators is never easy. I was very leery of it, but so far, you know, John Morton, tighter formations, a lot more tight end usage in the running game, and defensively, Kelvin Shepard, first-time coordinator. That was a really nice plan. Everybody maintained their rush lane, usage of a spy here and there, and just kind of corralling Lamar. And when he went to leave, there was nowhere really to go. You just don't see Lamar Jackson sacked much.
You know what I appreciated most about the Detroit Lions defensive effort? Look, they gave up a lot of points. But the one thing that you can see on the tape is that there is extra effort every which way. So Aiden Hutchinson's out of a play, but he comes back and he strips the ball out of Derrick Henry's arms. Derrick Henry doesn't feel like he's in the play. He doesn't even know he's coming back into the play. So the effort is there, and that is exactly what you see when you watch them on tape.
Colts, at what point do we just look at each other and go, this is a good football team?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Boomer, they're pretty good.
They are pretty good. And we're going to find out about them this week. You know, listen, this is the first time that they've started 3-0 since 2009. They won 14-0 that season. Obviously, that was Peyton Manning's season. They did reach the Super Bowl. Look, this is one punt through the first three games of the season. This is the fewest by any team since at least 1940. That's how good Daniel Jones is playing. You know, and Shane Steichen, you know, I take a lot of what these coaches say after these games because their initial reactions to their players that are making the plays says that Daniel Jones has been almost perfect in everything that he has done for the Colts. So this could be a match made in heaven, but we'll find out about them this week because they go to the Rams. Rams got a top-end defense. The Rams probably should have beaten the Eagles. Both you and I thought that they were going to beat the Eagles, at least cover the number. But the Rams are a good team, so this will be a really good test to see what the Colts look like on Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you talk about starting 3-0 for the first time in a long time. How about the Chargers? First 3-0 start in 23 years. This was my preseason surprise. And look, Harbaugh is like Thanos. He is inevitable. He's just a damn good NFL football coach. The Chargers are putting it together. I'd be stunned if they're not 4-0 after this weekend. I understand the injuries. Najee Harris is now done for the year. They lost Rashawn Slater. Boomer, they just comprehensively play really good football, and you got an MVP candidate quarterback.
Yes.
Chargers are absolutely for real.
They are 100% for real, and I think they're like Indianapolis. I think the quarterback's a little bit better than Indianapolis, but
agree.
You know, they won a tight game against Denver last week. Unfortunately for Denver, this is 2 weeks in a row, much like what has happened to the Cardinals 2 weeks in a row, losing on the last plays of the game. But at the end of the day, they still have Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert, as you said, is playing great. So if I had to give you the top five quarterbacks in the league right now as we speak, Lamar would be there, Josh Allen would be there, Justin Herbert would be there, Daniel Jones would be there, and Detroit would have to be him. Yeah, it would have to be him. So They're your top five quarterbacks in the league right now as we speak.
I want to just bring up being professional is difficult because I actually was angry at an off-brand game. If you're a fan of Atlanta, I mean, come on, man. You know, we sit here, we finally say nice things about you. We think you got it put together. You go to Carolina. All right, fine. We talk margins. You lose. Bleep happens. You lose 30 to nothing to Carolina. I mean, is this team ever going to get over the hump? Seriously.
I have to say that I'm a little disappointed in Michael Penix Jr. He was off last week. He hasn't been the player that I thought he was going to be. He's just not generating enough offense, and they have too many offensive weapons for them to be shut out on the road at Carolina. The other thing, too, is remember here, they have Kirk Cousins sitting on the bench. I pray to God, and when he went in the game last week, I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah.
So he moved the ball, and they moved the team, and then all of a sudden they called six straight runs. It was almost like Raheem Morris said, hey, guys, listen, let's not let Kirk start moving the ball here, because then we're going to have ourselves a quarterback quandary when we get back to Atlanta. But I got to say, this week, for them, this is going to be a very good test because they're playing the Commanders. I think that Jaden Daniels is going to play in this game. And both of these guys, Daniels and Michael Penix, were drafted in the same draft. And I would think that the Falcons at home have got to show up. There's one team that has a lot of pressure on them right now because of what they did 2 weeks ago and what happened to them last week. It's the Falcons. They better show up in front of their home fans this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get to it in the picks. You already know what you have to do there. All right, you want pressure. You deal with it locally 5 days a week with this franchise. The Dart era begins. I know we had our little group text, me, you, and Scones on Sunday. I do apologize about the volatility. but the Dart era is now beginning. Unpack it. I mean, what? How does this go? I mean, you're going to play him now. He's going to play against the Chargers and probably be awful.
Yeah.
But where do Daboll and Shane stand in your mind? Are they linked together? How much of it's attached to Dart? Just unpack it for me.
Yeah, I think they're all together, and I think this is the last card that they can play. Now, look, they still have 14 games left. It's a long way to go. A lot of things can happen.
What a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of things that can still happen. So, obviously, they want to make him the starter for the rest of the year. I think we'll see. I think we're going to see some rollouts. We're going to see some bootlegs. They'll probably get him on the run a little bit. They'll try to protect him as much as they can. The problem with going against who they're going against is that, you know, the offense for the Chargers is going to put up a ton of points. So that means they have to put up a ton of points. That means they got to convert on third down. And the one thing I will say, it gives the Giant fan a reason to go and hope for the future. The one thing that I would warn against is expecting too much. Remember when Eli took over for Kurt Warner way back when, it was not pretty. He did not play well for like six straight games, and it was ugly. And I remember coming in here in 2007, and people wanted both Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning out of here. And then lo and behold, they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. So Jackson gives them energy. I don't think there was any choice, especially with the way that Russell Wilson played last week. Those interceptions were just horrendous. You know, a veteran quarterback is brought in not to do that. And when the veteran quarterback does that, then the coach says, what the hell am I looking at? I might as well put the young kid in here because I'd rather see him doing it and learning and getting something out of it as opposed to sitting here watching the older quarterback do it. So it had to be done. I don't think they wanted to do it this early, but given the circumstance, I'm totally in agreement with it, and hopefully he brings them some energy.
Yeah, and again, it was a huge swing and miss by me. I really thought Giants defense would be good this year, but Shane Bowen is awful. This defense is awful, and Dexter Lawrence better figure it out. I just not good enough. I mean, when Dexter's right, he treats centers and guards like end tables. He picks them up and moves them. We'll see, but they had to make the move. It's just yet another. It's like death taxes and the Giants season being over before October. Tremendous. All right, that's uplifting. Let's get to the picks. This is a tough week with road favorites. Next, kickoff with Boomer and Valeni.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
They got Willa. They got my daughter. I need to find her. Willa!
From acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
Today, Experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio Del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go!
Here I am.
One battle after another. Now playing only in theaters. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17 animated without parent.
You can hide.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, this is a scary one now. You'll hear me say it 3-4 times during the year. There are certain weeks you go, oh boy, and this is one. We got a lot of heavy road chalk. Look out. Let's do the picks.
Picks of the week.
Oh, pip, pip, cheerio, or whatever country they're in. Vikings, because who asked for 9 a.m. football? Vikings laying 2.5. I'd say they travel to Pittsburgh, but they're in like Glasgow or whatever. Boomer, who you got?
Well, they're in Dublin. So, and the Steelers are going to end up, you know, their defense showed up last week. They got 5 turnovers against New England. That's what they're built on. Their offense is still not great, but just good enough to be able to score, you know, 3 touchdowns last week. And it looked like there is a real connection going on between DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers. So that's good. Carson Wentz didn't have to do much last week. Yeah. It was really about the Minnesota defense. I think I'm going to take the Steelers here, and I'll take the points.
I'm going to go Vikes. I watched a lot of that Patriot game. Don't ask me why. I'm a masochist. I mean, fumbling at the goal line to bail you out twice, a Drake May sloppy fumble. Those are gifts. I don't think you're getting them from the Vikes. I'm going to go with the purple here. Chargers lay in 6.5 at MetLife against the G-Men. The Dart debut.
Yeah, I think this is Scone's pick of the week for some reason. I'm not sure why, but I am taking the LA Chargers.
This better
Chargers.
Be the Bolts.
I'm taking the LA Chargers laying the 6.5 points. You know, they have one of the best passing offenses in football. Seems like it's going to be a good weather day here on Sunday. I would think that they would come in here, feel pretty comfortable with this Giant defense, not doing what we all expected it to do. So I will take the Chargers, and I'll lay the 6.5. Why is it your pick of the week there, Scones?
Because I don't believe in this Giant team at all now. You could start Dart all you want. It doesn't matter. He's not going to spark this squad. It's a whole scheme system problem, and you're telling me that a surging Charger team is going to give or lose or actually win by less than 6.5? I don't see it. I think they blow out the Giants this week. I think it's embarrassing. But I'm 0-3 in my picks of the week, so go the other way, I guess. But I'm taking the Chargers laying 6.5.
I'm with Scones on the scheme. I mean, it's either a check down to a running back or a YOLO ball 50 yards downfield. I think I'd faint if I saw the Giants complete an intermediary route. If it was more than a touchdown, I'd probably be your Huckleberry, but it's not. Give me the Chargers. Patriots laying 5.5 at the Panthers. Oh, God.
You know, plug so you watched this game last week. Did you not think that the Patriots looked better than the Steelers other than these stupid turnovers?
I did. I'm shocked at how sloppy they are under Vrabel. I thought this would be a cleaner operation.
Exactly. And, you know, interestingly enough, because it's not a clean operation, I do think they're going to win the game. But I'm going to take the Panthers and the points as a home dog.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. You know, I will say I wanted to shout out Bryce Young. His shortness helped him last week on that touchdown run. The linebacker reached out to tackle, and he got thin air because he's 3 feet tall. Just give me – never would I do this in real life, but give me the Patriots. Eagles-Bucks is a really good football game. Eagles laying 3.5 at the cardiac Bucks.
No Mike Evans for the Bucks, and that is a big loss. And we were talking about it in the previous segment about the Eagles, and they really haven't had their breakout offensive game yet. These teams are going to play close. I think Tampa Bay tends to keep these games close. I love what Baker does in the fourth quarter. You and I are huge Baker fans, but DNA is in the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to take them on the road here. I'll lay the 3.5.
The three of us, me, you, and Scones, ought to dress like Big Dom, put on some buffs, walk the sidelines. I love the Eagles in this spot. I do. The Bucs, you know I love Baker. You can't keep leaning on heroics. At a certain point, you got to play better. No Mike Evans is a big problem. Give me the Birds. Commanders laying 1 at Atlanta. You know what to do.
Atlanta got completely embarrassed. You want to talk about a long week at practice this week? The Atlanta yes. Falcons have gone through hell and back with Raheem Morris. Fans are all over them. I'm sure their sports talk radio and social media is killing them. It was an embarrassing loss last week. I always hated playing teams like this when they were returning home and we were the team that was visiting them. So I'm going to take the Falcons here. I'll lay the point, even if Jaden Daniels does play, which I think he will. But I think the Falcons will bounce back.
Say it with me. Play it a week.
Really?
Play it a week.
Really?
Yeah. I got a couple. I'm reaching in the recycling bin for the plays of the week this week. Yeah, I love Atlanta this week. Lions laying 9.5. They welcome in the Browns.
You know, the Browns defense is no joke, man. I'm telling you that, you know, the Packers found out about it last week. I just think that, you know, the Browns offense is so inconsistent and so the potential for turnovers in this game for the Browns is going to be significant. That's a lot of points here. I think I'll take the Lions here and I'll lay the 10 points. The Lions the last 2 weeks offensively have been brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Here's, by the way, and we talked about, I think, God, might have been week one, Boomer. I told you Mason Graham might have been the best player in the draft. And what he is doing next to Myles Garrett on that D-line, it has somehow made Myles Garrett better. It's a short week for the Lions. There is a little bit of an emotional come down. I don't feel great ever betting into the Lions or picking it. If they get a chance to rub your nose in it, they're going to do it. But give me the 9.5 points. That's a ton of points, and we talked about it. Margins, right? The Browns, they get paid too, and that defense is filthy. Texans laying 7.5. They host the Titans. PU.
Man, I this is a game I do not want to bet. So I'm off this game, guys. I'm sorry. I do not want this game at all. Texans
outright refusal.
Oh God, it is. I can't take it because I can't figure out either one of these teams. And, you know, one team's strength is the other team's weakness and back and forth. One's got a rookie quarterback who's running all over the place for his life. I mean, stay away from it. I don't want any part of it.
Just give me a hypothetical selection. I don't even care. No, Titans. No one should ever touch this game. You're going to take the Titans?
Yes,
yeah. Hypothetical. And by the way, for C.J. Stroud, this stat on third downs is getting worse. It's almost 50% of his third down dropbacks he's pressured. You are going to ruin this kid, period. Titans, move on. The next game. This feels like a week 16, 19 guys are on IR, team tanking spread. One problem, it's September. Bills laying 15.5 to the Saints.
Man, wow, I tell you what, I got to believe the Bills are going to put up at least 34 points in this game. I just don't see the Saints moving the ball against this Buffalo defense. You know, if the Buffalo defense had showed up against the Jets shows up against the Saints, we're going to have the same type of situation. So I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to take the Bills at home. I think they blow the Saints out.
I can say one nice thing about the Saints, brother. Those helmets were sweet.
You like them?
I did. Those were icy. Yes. I like those. Give me the Bills. That's a really bad football team in NOLA. Rams laying 3.5. They host the Colts.
See, I think this is a great game, man. I love this game. And I really want to find out about Daniel Jones and what they have on offense and whether or not this offensive line can deal with the defensive line of the Rams. The Rams played the Eagles tough last week. Now, is this a little bit of a come down spot for the Rams, and do they kind of get slipped up here against an underrated Colts team? I think I'm going to take the Colts and the points on the road here. I think it's a 3-point game, and I'll take the points in the case of 3.5.
Yeah, it's so difficult. I want to pick the Rams, but this Colt team, this offense, Jonathan Taylor right now is best back in football. That running game travels. I'll take the points. I think Rams win, but Colts cover. Niners laying 3.5 against the Jags. You know exactly what to do here. Come on.
Well, do we expect Brock Purdy to play?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. What, you like you the know Jags? What to do.
That a baby.
I can't pick the Jags. I just cannot pick the Jags. I don't know why you're trying to talk me into picking the Jags. I was so bent on taking the 49ers, especially if Brock Purdy comes back in. And I know Christian McCaffrey has been awesome this year. I know the injuries are mounting for the 49ers. They lose Nick Bosa, which is huge for them. But I'm just not sold on the Jags just yet. I'm going to take the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan.
I want you to remember this. When all hope seems lost and love is gone, that's exactly the moment to play a team in the National Football League. It's the Jags, man. They're gross. Everything's going sideways. Brian Thomas can't catch a football. Travis Hunter's running around in circles like he needs a GPS. That's exactly the moment we ride. We're going with the Jags. It's disgusting. Jags, give it a 3.5. Raiders, Bears. The Raiders, off of that performance, are favored. Boomer, you know what to do.
So I thought last week was supposed to be the Geno Smith coming out party. Good Geno, bad Geno, good Geno, bad Geno. And it turned out that
we were a week late.
Marcus Mariota was awesome last week.
That was rough. We were a week late.
That was really rough. So now you're telling me that you think that Caleb Williams is going to walk in here off of that performance against a horrendous Cowboy defense, that he's not going to be able to move the ball against this Raider defense?
Let's ask the question. How much stock do you put in what anyone does against that Dallas team? I'm asking. Because, again, the Bears have to now go on the road. The Raiders got embarrassed. And I know Pete Carroll's a gum-chewing cheerleader. But still, there's a desperation element there. And by the way, are we sure this Bear defense is any good? Wouldn't this be the week with Bowers a full participant? And Ashton Gentry has to get involved here.
Wow.
I'm asking now.
I don't know. Is there a more disappointing rookie than Ashton Gentry right now?
Take your pick, brother. Caleb Johnson in Pittsburgh, R.J. Harvey in Denver, Amarian Hampton has stunk, Gentry stinks. Yeah, they've all been bad, but not this week.
But I do believe that the Raiders will win at home. Yes.
Yes.
I'll take the Raiders.
There you go. Don't you feel great doing that?
I do. I actually feel liberated.
All right, let's go Packers laying 6.5 at Dallas.
Oh, man, this is going to be a Packer beatdown. I got, some Micah Parsons, 3 sacks, CeeDee Lamb for the Dallas Cowboys. Packers coming off of a really tough loss at Cleveland, and they're going to play a defense that is one of the worst in football. So I will take the Packers all day here.
Here's the one word of caution. I'm with you. I will take the Packers because, no CeeDee Lamb, Dallas's defense, we just talked about it. Here's my concern with the Packers, right? 14 penalties. Okay, let's say that's an anomaly. Where's their running game? Where is it? And the passing game has felt uneven, meaning when it's good, it's great. And then when it's bad, it's non-existent. The line gives me some pause. But I'll go Packers. But I wanted your take. What is wrong with the running game?
No, I'm just going to tell you, last week they played Cleveland, and Cleveland is a tough defense. They force you into penalties. There's not a lot of room. They had a 10-point lead. They should have won the game. They didn't win the game. I think that's a great teaching moment for Matt LaFleur. You know, one of their offensive linemen this week said, I think we can go undefeated. Okay, thank you. Uh-oh. You just killed us. So Matt LaFleur had a teaching moment this week. They'll get it back on track this week, and I do believe that the Packer defense really wants to show, Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys that they did the right thing by acquiring Micah. So I just think everything is going to settle down, especially because this Dallas Cowboy defense is one of the worst in the league.
By the way, fun note, Micah Parsons is still a suite owner in Dallas. No refunds.
Wow.
You traded him. He's still on the hook for a suite he doesn't use.
Well, at least his family will be using it this week.
Yeah, nice operation, Jerry. All right, Dolphins laying 2.5, hosting the Jets. You know what to do.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets here, and I think the Jets are going to run the ball right down the Dolphins' throat. I mean, they have, this is a team that has been close 2 out of the 3 weeks that they've played, and I'm not talking about, moral victories or any of that other crap that everybody likes to focus on. I'm talking about a coach who's trying to change a team, like it's a big ship in the night that goes slowly, like he has said. But I think the Jets have shown some fight here for me. So more so than the Dolphins. And I think offensively, especially if Justin Fields is playing, they should be able to run the ball to the tune of 200 yards in this Miami Dolphin defense.
Total agreement. I got to go with the Jets here. One last time. Come on, Aaron Glenn. Get it done. Broncos laying 7.5. They welcome in Boomer's Bengals.
I'm not taking the Bengals simply because of two reasons. One, watching the offense under Jake Browning last week on the road was not pretty in Minnesota. And I don't think it's going to be pretty against this defense in Denver. And number two, Denver has had a number of close games that they should have won that they lost right at the end. It's kind of like Arizona. I think this is a breakout game. Sean Payton has basically been all over himself. He's basically critical of his own play calling. So I think he calls a great game here, and I think that the Denver Broncos will handle the business here against the Bengals.
I'm just going to do a correlated move here. I think it's an under game, and if you like the under, you take the dog. I don't love any of it. I wish the game wasn't on TV, frankly. I'll go Bengals one shot. I don't think they win, but that is a lot of points. All right, we got to do one of my favorite things. A, best of the best, Ravens and Chiefs. We got a hot seat index. Nobody likes firing coaches more than this guy. So we'll do all of that and more next. Stay tuned. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
This is a dream segment for your man over here. We're going to talk the burial of the Chiefs, and we're going to fire some coaches. This is great. Pull up a chair.
Firing coaches 4 weeks into the season. All right.
Listen, I'm a Giants fan. This is part of what I do. Ravens laying 2.5 going into Arrowhead. That's a statement line, Booms. Mahomes at home is a dog?
It's amazing. It's happened now two times in a row this season, I believe. And the one thing I will say about their defense, Kansas City's defense, is that they are for real. Unfortunately, Baltimore's defense is not. And I do believe that Xavier Worthy should be back on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs, so they'll get at least one playmaker back out there to help Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, like, what I saw last week from Kansas City was basically a team that smothered the New York Giants. And I understand it's the Giants. It's not the Ravens. It's a completely different set of circumstances. But, you know, the defense is real. Steve Spagnuolo is real. And all they have to do is take some of the plays out or some of the schemes out that Detroit employed to slow down Lamar Jackson, because they did. And the one thing about the Ravens, they are turning the football over. There's no question about it. So I do like the Kansas City Chiefs here at home with the points.
All right, couple of notes for me. One, the Chiefs, it's just gotten to a point. They don't have a running game. They just don't have any, you know, swing and miss, so to speak. They got no elusiveness. The other thing, too, the Ravens were very, very mindful of Jameson Williams last week. They were mindful of the verticality of the Lions offense. You don't have to be that way with the Chiefs. Now, Worthy, he's coming back, question mark, meaning a limited snap count, and he's going to be wearing a harness. Now, that doesn't instill confidence in me. I think it says a lot. The Ravens are even favored. Like, would it have shocked you, Booms? All right, hey, 1-2 Chiefs, 1-2 Ravens. Chiefs are laying 2.5. You wouldn't have blinked, right?
Right.
You would have gone, that makes sense. Why are the Ravens favored? See, I think it's telling you what the Chiefs really are. If we take the logo off the helmet, if the Giants had a pulse, and I promise I won't go on a rant, if the Giants had a pulse, they'd be...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs last week. Just a pulse. Not like Nona got out of hospital bed and was jogging around. A pulse.
Yeah,
well, I got to go Ravens here.
Right, and plus you had two really bad interceptions, and there could have been a third one by Russell Wilson last week. I mean,
How about the worst red zone trip in history?
Exactly.
Into the third row, into the fifth row, trick shot, Tony Hawk off the crossbar. I've never seen anything like it.
The one thing I will say is that Lamar Jackson, even with a 1-2 record, think about what he's done. He's got 9 pass TDs, 0 interceptions this season. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy how great he is playing. 10 total TDs, 0 turnovers this season. And he's the 5th quarterback since 1970 with at least 10 touchdowns, total touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in his first 3 games. He's playing awesome. So I can understand why, you know, you think, and most people probably think the Ravens will win here. I don't like the Ravens' run defense. So if the Chiefs ever had a running game or would ever have a running game, this would be the game where it would show up.
This is for your man, Gio, on your Monday through Friday award-winning morning show on WFAN. This is a Derrick Henry jewelry deluxe revenge spot.
And by the way, Lamar Jackson is 1-5 career record versus the Chiefs.
Oh, dear. Give me the Ravens. Oh, God.
All right. So you know that.
I know. Hey, I may be overthinking it, and you may be right, but I need the Chiefs' burial like oxygen. This is all I have left as a Giants fan. Let's go to the hot seat index. Scones. Let's fire some coaches, baby.
I know this is right up your alley. That's Woo! Why I thought about it, doing it this week, week 3. Yes, maybe a little early, but it's something to have
Never
fun with.
Never too early. I can fire somebody in training camp.
Right, I know you can. All right, listen, leading candidate coming into the season, obviously Mike McDaniel. He's totally lived up to the billing. Does he get the boot after the Monday night Jet-Dolphin game if he loses on national television?
Yeah, wow, you're asking a lot by an owner to do this because I looked at their staff. I don't necessarily know that there's anybody in that staff that can just come in there and take it over. I don't think that they would fire him depending on how this game looks. If this game is a blowout by the Jets and it looks like the Dolphins have completely given up, then I can see Stephen Ross maybe pulling the trigger. But that would be the only way that I think that would happen.
One unrelated question. How does Chris Greer keep his job?
There's also the issue with Brian Flores suing the Dolphins. Remember that. Mm. And remember who the GM has been there during all of that. So Chris Greer has all the answers to all of those things. And I don't necessarily know that the Dolphins would want all those answers to be out there in the court of public opinion. So maybe that's one of the reasons why he's able to keep his job.
Sounds like a really healthy organization. Scones, to answer your question, I think unless it looked awful on Monday night, they'll probably stick with him another week or two. But he's getting, even by McDaniel standards, fellas, he's getting weird at these press conferences. He's getting really weird. Go ahead, Scones.
He always was weird. Now, Mike, this is for you. This is your wheelhouse, baby. All right.
Yes.
Brian Daboll, another year, another 0-3 start.
See
ya. The Giants don't fire people during the season, but if Dart looks like a complete disaster and this season unravels even more, which I don't even know if it could be possible, do the Giants get rid of Daboll during the season, Mike?
Yes. That's my hope talking. No, they don't fire anybody during the season. But, I mean, here's the thing. In all seriousness, you have to allow Daboll and Kafka to coach Jackson Dart to see if you even want Jackson Dart around, any of these guys around. It really wouldn't make sense to get rid of. This is me talking now, so none of you pass out. It doesn't make sense to fire Daboll now. Now, if Dart is 6-7 games in and looks absolutely dreadful, this team's 0-11, then it's a different conversation. But if you're going to do right by the kid, I think you got to keep Daboll around. So I will say they will not get rid of him in season.
Just know this. There is precedent. They fired Ben McAdoo in season, but they had Steve Spagnuolo there to take over as
the
interim
head
coach.
And that was the haircut, let's be honest.
Yeah, it could have been the haircut, could have been the jacket, whatever it was. But I don't think they'll fire him in season. I don't think John Mara is going to want to do that. And I think Mike is 100% right. They want to see what Jackson Dart looks like. And if he shows anything, like he could be the future here, that would mean that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane hit the jackpot with this quarterback.
All right, guys. Great defense as always, but there's always a head coach on this list. That's the Cleveland Browns head coach, and this time it's Kevin Stefanski. They look good against the Packers defensively. They came back and won. Does Stefanski get on the hot seat and get fired during the season?
You know what? Not during the season either. I think he's established there. I think the problem with him and with the problem with that franchise is that they're the Cleveland Browns, and they make quarterback decisions that make you scratch your head. Now, I understand why they brought Joe Flacco back. He had a nice run with them 2 years ago. The Deshaun Watson thing didn't work out. Now you got the Shedeur Sanders chirping about how he's better than most guys in the league that are playing.
Uh-oh.
It's not Stefanski's fault. I don't think he wanted Shedeur Sanders. I think he just has to deal with it right now, but I don't see him getting fired during the season at all.
No, I think he's a good man. I think he's a good football coach. I think he'd get a job in a New York minute if the Browns got rid of him. This is now, if somehow it is unearthed in some form of expose that Kevin Stefanski is the right hand of all these QB decisions, oh, yeah, I'd throw him out in the street. But I think we know that's not how the Browns roll. I'm going to say no to it. I think the Browns would be stupid, even by Cleveland standards, to get rid of Kevin Stefanski.
DeMeco Ryans, what is going on in Houston? The offense can't score. They're ruining Stroud. Is it a defensive head coach neglecting the offense? Does DeMeco Ryans get the boot?
You know, I don't think so. I think he's a very popular coach in that locker room. I think the guy that I would worry about in that division would be Brian Callahan of the Tennessee Titans. If things keep going south there and they don't see any growth,
you can fire him today.
Ward. Yeah,
him today for what he did before halftime. Did you see that?
Yes, I did see that. So there are a lot of things that are going on in Tennessee where I would think he would be more apt to be the guy that got axed than DeMeco Ryans. I think that also you have to remember that this offensive line, DeMeco Ryans didn't put that together. That's not
Caserio.
His job. That's Nick Caserio. That's the GM.
You can't give – look, I love DeMeco Ryans, and they play hard for him, and that is a top 10 defense. I heard Chris Long say this week on his podcast, and I think it's smart. He goes, I see a lot of the Ram teams I played on in this team. Great defense, great D-line, couldn't get it together on offense for one reason or another. It's the same thing. You cannot put that offensive line out there and expect to win 9-10 games. It's not going to happen. DeMeco Ryan's a good football man, and he's a player's coach, and that's a really good defense. I'm going to say no to that. I would hire him in a minute if he got fired.
All right, guys, let's go to the NFC South. Raheem Morris. Now, I know it's only his second year, but as you guys said last week, last week's game was a show-me game, and what did they show you? Nothing. Got blown
Their
out
ass.
By the Carolina
that's
Panthers.
What they showed you.
Should Raheem Morris be worried?
That's what they showed you. Gone.
Here's the thing. If they lose this week at home and they don't show anything, Arthur Blank's going to be wondering, why did he pick Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick? Think about that for a second. You got to go back to all of that. So it's still early. They had a really bad game last week on the road against Carolina. If they don't come back this week, like we were talking about in the previous segment, and win their game against Washington, then I think pressure is going to start to mount on Raheem Morris once again.
All right, here's the one thing. Let's back up the truck for a minute. I would have zero regret about not hiring Belichick after what I am seeing at North Carolina. I mean, we're doing, conjugal visits on the sideline here pregame. What? The program is in tatters. They're terrible. No. Now, I am telling you, he hit a home run with Raheem. But I'm with Boomer here. Scones, no. My disdain for the way they played aside. Raheem Morris steadies the ship here. Get a home win over the Commanders. But his success or failure will be directly tied to the Michael Penix issue. Now, they fired noted Giants Hall of Famer Ike Hilliard this week as their wide receivers coach. What a weird firing. But they got to get Drake London going. They got to get the passing game going. The problem, Raheem's a defensive coach. I'm going to say he'll eventually be gone, but it won't be this week.
All right, lastly, Dave Canales, as we stay in the NFC South. Another year of Bryce Young, third year in. They're 1-2, despite the win against Atlanta. Is Canales on the hot seat?
This is Boomer's guy, David Tepper. You go first. You predict what Tepper's going to do.
He's unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. I don't think he's going to fire anybody in the middle of the season. But I will say this, that it just goes to show you, if you have the right quarterback, you end up getting a job, whether it be Liam Cohen or Dave Canales, as they had Baker Mayfield. And they showed some life down in Tampa Bay. I think the reason those guys get hired is because of the performance from the quarterback that they're coaching. And right now, Bryce Young actually had a decent game last week. Again, much like Tua, much like Kyler Murray, much like Bryce Young, they're all short. And they need really good teams around them, much like Russell Wilson had around him in Seattle. But I'm just saying that I don't think they're going to do anything in the middle of the season. At the end of the season, if they don't see any growth from Bryce Young, guess what? They're going to be drafting another quarterback, moving on from him, and most likely moving on from the coach.
Yeah, I agree. I'll say this early on. For a defense that was one of the five worst in history of the league statistically, they're a top 10 run defense to start the year. Getting Derek Brown back does help. That was a big win last week. Bryce Young needed it. Canales needed it. The franchise needed it. Can they back it up? Can they draw even at 2-2? Think about what the vibes are at 2-2. I think they'd be dumb to get rid of Canales, because here's the other thing. Even if it doesn't work with Bryce, Canales is a QB whisperer. You're going to be taking a QB, like Boomer said. The problem is you have a maniac running the organization. David Tepper is it's volatility defined. So I'll say no, question mark. All right, that. My friends, that was a loaded episode. That was Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Some things never go out of style, like trust, reliability, and driving a Toyota. Take the legendary Tacoma and Tundra, perfect for work and adventures. Hurry in. Offers end September 30th. Toyota, let's go places.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.